With that passage and many others, we hope to look at the subject titled Fail Forward or Fail Backward. What is he talking about? Fail forward or fail backward. The wise saying that failures and disappointments are the bridges which we have to cross to success. And that is a fact of life. As we struggle through life and undertake the various things that we undertake, many successful men and women will tell you how many failures and how many disappointments they have experienced to now be enjoying the success that they have. But that those success or that success did not come overnight. They experienced many failures and many disappointments. Hence, failures and disappointments are the bridges which we have to cross to success. Grew out of the observation that in every area of life and the fact of life, it is usually the men and women who in the midst of failures, setbacks, disappointments, and obstacles, those men and women who experience these, and while experiencing these setbacks and disappointments, they kept trying. They kept working at it until success is realized. It is an encouraging thing to read of a lot of successful people in the secular areas of life and even the spiritual. I'd hope to share a few lines from one of those inspirational books I have, The Kingship of Self-Control. In fact, it could have been The Majesty of Calmness, where the author lists great men of the world that you and I read about and what they went through to achieve success. Brother Mitchell, what you said, this title of the lesson is again, Fail Forward or Fail Backward. In other words, it is usually men and women who recognize that psychologically, that is a mindset, emotionally, the way we feel, and practically and beneficially, it is always better to fail forward than to fail backward. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Thanks for asking. It is always better to fail while trying still. To fail while going on at it still. To fail while getting up and working at it than to fail backward. That is to fail while you stop trying. To fail while you stop working at it. To fail because you give up. To fail because of setback. To fail because of disappointment. It's always better to fail while you are still working at it. And this affects our Christian life, our relationship with God. There are many Christians who give up. Literally, and that's what Satan likes. When because you have tried so much and you see you fail, you recognize you have not lived up to Jesus' expectation. Satan usually used that in your mind to say, there it is, I tell them that me no say me couldn't live the Christian life. That's exactly the way Satan wants you to think and to throw in the towel. We hope to look on some characters today and some passages to help us understand that the Almighty God, through His Word, encourages and rewards stick-to-itiveness. God does that. Did you notice the passage which was read from Luke, chapter 18, verse 1? Look at verse 1 and verse 5 again.
And he spake a parable unto them.
Spake a parable.
To this end.
With this purpose in mind.
That men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Notice the word faint. Don't give up. Wait. Even when things seems that you're not going to succeed, if you have the strength, keep trying. Read that verse one again.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
That's right.
There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary.
This woman, a widow, she needed justice. Read.
And he would not for a while.
Yeah, the judge, he did not fear man or fear God. So he, as if it were, he had nobody to whom he was answerable. But notice what going to get him.
But afterward, he said within himself.
He said within himself.
Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me.
You see, the troubleth me is the widow's consistency. She went today and she didn't get any justice. She went back tomorrow and she went back the following day and she went back. The judge realized that she's not going to stop coming. But did you realize that? I find this passage one of the greatest encouragement for persistent in praying to God. Yes, sir. Because that's what it is about. Yes, sir. You go to God about something for a dozen times, and it doesn't come through, and it is something legitimate, something good. Jesus Christ in this parable is saying, still keep going to God. That's exactly what this parable is about. What verse is that?
Verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me.
This widow troubleth me.
I will avenge her.
I will avenge her.
Lest by her continual coming.
Here again. By her not stopping. By her not giving up.
She weary me.
She weary me. God wants us to weary him. For me, that's an encouraging word. We pray to God one or two times about something and it not come true. And we already concluded that God not going to answer. The Almighty God, through his word, encourages and rewards stick-to-itiveness and God discourages faint-heartedness. God discourages the desire of the readiness to stop trying. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. Let us have them. Galatians 6, 9.
And let us not be weary in well-doing.
You see, we are people who get tired quick. Are we all there? We easy, and you know, one of the important areas where we get tired quick, serving God. We have to watch it. The brother just read Galatians 6, verse 9. Read it again. Somebody didn't hear it.
And let us not be weary in well-doing.
If you are doing something that is good and that is right, no, get tired quick. Even when you get tired, don't be tired. Keep at it. And nothing deserves keeping at it consistently as serving the Almighty God. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 3.
And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored.
It's one of the seven congregations in Asia that the comment here is being made about. Start again.
And has borne.
Uh-huh.
And has patience.
And has patience.
And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted.
And has not
fainted.
Has not
fainted.
You see, we have to be careful of that readiness and easiness to get weary and to faint. That is not a true characteristic of God's people. There is a vast difference between Job and his wife. Remember, Job was the one going through hell bared. Truly. Listen it in chapter 2 of the book of Job, verse 9. And chapter 14, verse 14. Let us hear chapter 2, verse 9 first.
Then said his wife unto him,
that is, then said Job's wife unto Job,
dost thou still retain thine integrity?
Uh-huh.
Curse God and die.
Wait, watch here. This woman was as wrong could be. But we must start to be careful how we condemn her. Because, you see, when we stand by and see, be it mother, father, husband, wife, children, or whatever, going through certain situation, when you know you have spoken to God how many times and you have been trying to serve him. Many of us would be unpredictable in respect to how we are going to respond to that. So let us be careful. Now, her comment was wrong and out of place, but we must be careful because we might not do better under the same situation. Are we all there? What was his response? It's Job chapter 2, verse 9. But he said unto her,
thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh.
That's right. I believe he says some more there.
What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?
Are we all there? Is it that I announce it? Yes, unless I plan to share with you all. That while God is a giving God, God is also a taking God. You see, we want God to just be a giving God. But through the Bible, the passage the brother just read, that's not why I've come here, but you know, you're passing over these here and you see some solid truth. I don't want to just pass over. You hear a sermon sometime over the next 50 years. I don't know. you know, and this truly is a lesson I plan to. That God is not only a giving God, God also takes. And that's the area we must brace ourselves for when the Almighty God, in his wisdom, in his love, in his grace, good reason to take something from us. A lot of time it is to make us more conscientious and more faithful. And Job was well ahead of his wife. Do you expect us to always receive good from God and not evil? Now that is not talking about moral evil. It's talking about the natural evil that comes. Sickness is natural evil. Hurricane and earthquake, these are all natural evil. It's not talking about the evil that man does to his fellow man. Remind me one of the time to have a lesson on that, to show the difference. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, that God is the one who create evil. But that was not talking about moral evil. The geographical laws that create earthquake and all of that and other laws of nature that condition hurricane, those are the works of God. May we get back to the lesson. Job, why don't curse God and die? Job says, do you expect us to receive good of God and not evil? But in response to her, let us hear Job 14:14.
If a man die, shall he live again?
Mm-hmm.
All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come.
As long as I live, I will wait to see what the result will be. We must condition our mind to wait upon God. The spirit, the attitude, the positiveness of Job in the very midst of failure, ruin, catastrophe. The, this was when the man's wealth was perishing before him. So many sheep, so many cows, so his children were dying. It was then that the man could utter these words. That he learned that in the midst of all these failures and catastrophe, there is still hope because there is a God. There is a God. You know, doctors will tell you that when, in many cases, when a man or woman is critically ill, a doctor will tell you that whether that person die or revive, in many cases, it depends on the person's will to live. That's a fact. If that sick person, critically ill person, within themselves feel that they want to die, they want to give up, they don't want to live anymore, doctor and everybody will have a difficult time, that person coming back around. But if within that man or woman, that person wants to live, that desire sends message to so many organs in the body. And a lot of time people that you or I give up on come right back around because of the will to live. The Almighty God wants us to be people to fail forward. That is, fail while still trying. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to verse 9. Or verse 10. Verse 8 to verse 10. 2 Corinthians.
Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Start again, brother.
Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus.
Christian, Paul was talking about their situation when Christianity was such an unpopular thing. And it's like they die every day preaching Christ because of the threat and the many enemies that Christian and Christianity face. He said, always dying. Read on, brother.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Mm-hmm.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' mm-hmm. sake. That the life also
what
of
verse,
Jesus.
What verse is that?
Verse 11.
No, step up. I had said from verse 8 to verse, I believe, 10.
Okay. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Wait. We are troubled on every side, yet not
distressed.
Distressed.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed. Wait. We do not always have the answer to everything. And there are things in life that makes our mind wander. But though we are perplexed,
we are not in despair.
We are not in despair. We don't give up hope. Read on.
Persecuted.
We are persecuted.
But not forsaken.
But we are not forsaken. We don't tell ourselves that God has forsaken us. We don't throw in the towel.
Cast down.
We are cast down.
But not destroyed.
But we are not destroyed. This is the attitude of true children of God.
Amen.
Things do not always go the way we want, the way we expect. and even the way we pray to God to work it out. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us.
Amen.
In most, if not all, the great men and women of the Bible, we see the spirit of fail forward. I repeat, in most, if not all, the great characters of both Old and New Testament, we see them manifesting the attitude, the disposition, and the spirit of fail forward. Yes, they had disappointment. Yes, there are areas where some of them really failed. But those who failed but didn't stop trying are the ones who usually come through. Are we all there? They keep trying, they keep working at it. They don't give up, they don't faint. I am down, but I am not out. I might have lost the battle, but I may still win the war. Notice Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, or verse 13 through 15, Philippians chapter 3.
Brethren. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do.
Wait. Apprehended here means I don't reach where I know I ought to be. As we would say, me not reach there yet. That's right. That's what Paul is saying here. Watch now. He can take two roads from you. He can take the one where he say, you know, since I've been trying to reach there and I don't reach there yet, me I'll give up. Because look how much me I try. But watch him.
But this one thing I do.
This one thing I do.
Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
You notice, this is not a man who planned to give up, even though where he ought to be is not there. He said, my main focus is to keep trying. Read on, brother.
I press towards the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
You see, he's not going to give up. And we ought not to give up. In fact, not only ought we not to give up. One of the danger Satan set for us is that danger of stagnation. We are not progressing as Christian while we are not retrograding, we are not going backward, but neither are we progressing. That's danger. Christian self-satisfaction is one of the effective tools of Satan, where you are not making any progress. Even though you are not drifting backward, Satan wants you to feel self-satisfied. Everything is okay, even though you are not working for Christ. You are not going forward. You notice the fruitless fig tree was not growing thorns. It was not growing maca, prickle. But neither was it producing edible fruit. And it brought curse on itself. One of the effective tools, as I've said, of Satan is where a Christian brother or sister can look on themselves and it says, well, I attend church for the at least 3 Sundays out of the month and etc., etc. My God, what else are you doing for Christ, for Christianity, for the church? Because God expects us to be progressive, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He never expects us to stand still. So be mindful, that's one of Satan's tricks. You cannot pinpoint any real activity in the body of Christ where you are accomplishing something as an individual brother or sister for Christ, for Christianity, yet you feel comfortable. That's not good. We must watch for that. Yes. You were in Philippians, no? Well, probably you have read all the verses. You have read through verse 15.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
That is, have this, as many as be perfect. And when you feel you have reached there, he said that the mind that I have, the disposition that I have just expressed, where I feel to myself I have not reached there, Paul said, that's the mind you must have. That is, think in terms of what can you do for the name of Christ, for the church, for Christianity. What area can you make better progress? Are you as knowledgeable as you can? Do you utilize the opportunities that are available in the church to gain more knowledge? Fail backward or fail forward. Remember, fail forward means you have not accomplished all the things that Christ asks that you accomplish, but and in areas you fail, but you know what? You have a mindset to keep working at it. You're not going to be complacent or feel self-satisfied. Can we look on one or two characters quick before the lesson finish? May we look at Jacob, who became Israel. His name was changed by God. First, are you with me? I hear one, yeah. Are you with me? A few more. Jacob. First, he was a victim of parental partiality. A victim. He suffered the hatred of his brother because of what his mother did. Huh? And we can find that in it. We're not going to read these passages. But you can find that in the book of Genesis chapter 27. Then secondly, he was hated bitterly by his brother Esau. You can find that in Genesis 27 verse 41 following. Then he wrestled with the angel. And this confrontation with God's special messenger was a demonstration of the destitutiveness that was in this man. That's right. Because what came out here? Look at verse 25 of Genesis 32. Verse 25 of Genesis 32.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him.
That is, when the angel saw
that he
did not prevail against Jacob. Brother Mitchell, how comes the angel didn't prevail against this just mere mortal man? Because of Jacob's determination. Read that 25 again, verse.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him,
mm-hmm.
he touched the hollow of his thigh,
mm-hmm.
and the hollow of Jacob's thigh
mm-hmm.
was out of joint
mm-hmm.
as he wrestled with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
let me go, for the day breaketh.
The angel said to Jacob, you know, we country people talk about a dead hole. The person who hold on to you and only they're going to make them let go. That's the type of determination this man has. But you see what it shows character. It shows determination. Read on. The angel said, let me go.
For the day breaketh.
For the day breaketh.
And he said.
You see, Jacob, not care whether it be light or night, him hold on to you. But you see, what is coming out to is Jacob's objective. Why was he so determined to hold on to this heavenly being? Read on, brother.
I will not let thee go.
I will not let thee go.
Except thou blesseth me.
The man a blessing from heaven. You see, spiritual desire. Was what the man need. I am not going to let you go until thou hast blessed me. What verse is that?
Verse 26.
Step down to 28, brother.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob.
That is the angel speaking again. But I'm going to change your name. Why? Read.
But Israel.
Uh-huh.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men.
Yeah. You prevail with God and with men. Amen. This is talk about the man's determination. God does not want his people to be people who easily give up. Especially in our relationship with the Almighty God. It doesn't matter what challenge, what temptation, what failure or disappointment come, Christ wants us to keep holding on. Keep trying. The testimony of the angel here in respect to Jacob is an evidence. Not only all of this, the wrestle with the angel, he was used and abused by Laban, his father-in-law. I mean literally use and abuse. Look at chapter 31, verse 7, verse 5 to verse 7. Quick, brother. Chapter 31.
And said unto them,
mm-hmm.
I see your father's countenance.
He said unto his wives, that is Laban's two daughter. Remember, he worked 7 years for one, and crooked, deceptive Laban didn't give him the wife for which he worked. That's wicked. But instead of this man named Jacob becoming discouraged and giving up and go about his ways, when his father-in-law told him to, if you want, the other one, he have worked 7 more years. My God, that's a lifetime. And the man worked 14 years. Ah! But may I just throw this along? All along, you know, the Almighty God, there's so much in these lessons. The Almighty God note these qualities in Jacob. That's why the Almighty God went along that instead of Esau getting the birthright, it was given to Jacob because of the quality that this man had. And one of the qualities that keep coming out is stick-to-itiveness. Stay with it. Determination. You were at verse.
And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me.
And that makes all the difference, you know. You know, that can keep us going if we believe that, one, if we are doing what is right, and we know that God is with us. That makes all the difference. Read on a little more, brother.
And do you know that with all my power, I have served their father?
You get this? Here is a man. One of the things that comes out is that here is a young man that was a dedicated employee. Anything you put Jacob on, he would work at it with sincerity. This is great. You know that that is expected of us.
Amen.
In our secular job. The Almighty God expects you to give a day's work for a day's pay.
Amen.
The Almighty God expects you and me to be sincere and genuine in whatever we do. Read on a little more.
And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times.
Can you believe that? Wait. Your father's done what, brother?
Have deceived me.
Deceived. That is worth praying.
And changed my wages 10 times.
Brother Mitchell, for me to get 10 raise up here, no, but for goodness that. And a raise up here. I cut the man's pay. 10 times. And this young man was so determined that he kept working and giving his best. He said something else there.
But God suffered him not to hurt me.
God permit him not to do me harm. But God, brother, but God. That makes all the difference. You read verse 7. Okay, stop there, brother. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's at least 15 minutes of the lesson left, but I'm going to end the lesson right here. You see, there's another character I want to look at. But there again, you know, remember when I came here, what I said? That literally all of the Old Testament great characters, they were men and women who understood that fail forward is better than fail backward. Fail forward mean you will keep working at it. You will keep trying, even in the midst of failure. And that above all things, when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will let nothing discourage you. Never let Satan fool you that God has abandoned you. Satan wants us to believe that. You just do what is right. Don't let Satan fool you either with being complacent and being self-satisfied. Where you cannot see. Where you are active in the church, trying to accomplish more for Christ, you only look at the fact that, well, I go to church every Sunday, etc. No. Satan will keep you right at that spot and permit you to end up in hell. That's why the fruitless fig tree was not bearing thorns or prickle. Yet it was condemned because it was not bearing edible fruit. Be mindful. Yes, I would like to have pointed out and spent some time with Joseph, who was hated by his brothers. His brothers who wanted to kill him. He was sold a slave at one time, and sold a slave again by the Ishmaelite. He was lied on by his master's wife. He was put in prison. How could Joseph not say, "How am I so bad lucky?" Why didn't he say this? No. Joseph never gave up on God or on himself. Was he sinless? No. But Joseph knew that fail forward is better than fail backward. He kept holding on to God in all his situations. As I end, remember sometimes what appears as failures and disappointments are simply God's school or God's university training, molding and preparing us for greater and better things. Be mindful of that. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. If you're here today as a backslider, the Almighty God promises no man tomorrow. But he gives us now, he gives us this moment to make a recommitment or a new commitment to the Almighty God through Christ, and to give Jesus Christ a chance to deal with your sin and your trespasses, and to let Jesus Christ help you to understand as you go through life that it is always good in almost any areas of life that you undertake something that is positive and good. It's always good to fail forward. That is always trying, working at it. Not quick to give up, not quick to faint. It's always good or better to fail there than to fail where you easily give up. Christ does not want us to be people who give up easily. And he will give us the strength and the support to sustain us when in the midst of catastrophe we still want to hold on to his hand. Christ calls you right now, calls you to repentance from sin. He calls you to baptism.